It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405, Mr. Will Crisp. Welcome, Will.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks this afternoon. This is going to be a real interesting show because we are out on the 405 right now, not very far from it. We drove over to FastStartStudio.com to interview some of the entrepreneurs here, some of the gurus in this incubator, this accelerator, this wonderful place where jobs are being created. Now, I was talking with Michael Sawitz yesterday, and Michael is a major supporter of new jobs and new opportunities. In fact, he turned me on to a book by Jim Clifton of the Gallup organization. Jim Clifton is the chair of the Gallup organization, and they've been doing some very interesting things over there in the past couple of years. What they've been doing is looking around the world to find out what people are actually thinking. In fact, that's one of the things they mention in the introduction to the book is, for years, people have wanted to know what people are thinking in the world. In fact, what he says is that George Gallup himself, George Gallup Sr., at that time there were 5 billion people in the world, and George Gallup said, out of those 5 billion people, that means that there are 5 billion different ways of being in the world, and we need to find out about all of them. Well, we've got more than 5 now. We've got more like 9 billion people in the world, and so what Jim Clifton has been directing the Gallup organization to do is to find out what people in the world are believing, hoping, dreaming, wanting right now. And one of the interesting things, he says, it's not just food. It's not water. It's not happiness and joy. It's not the next movie. It's not the next iPad or iPod or iPhone. He said what people in the world want right now is jobs. In fact, over the next 30 years, he says that's going to be the big war between all countries is for jobs, finding ways to get jobs. Now, it's not like stealing jobs from another country. It's promoting an environment that creates jobs here in this country. And specifically, what I took from that is it's finding a way to promote an environment that will create jobs in this region, in Orange County, in Southern California, in California, and ultimately in the United States. Now, it's very interesting because some of the statistics, which I'm just going to kind of take apart over the next couple of weeks and send out to my Twitter followers and to Facebook, because he makes some very interesting points. When he talks about GDP, it's very clear that our GDP in the United States is $15-16 trillion. GDP in China is about $5-6 trillion. And that means that the GDP of the entire world, I think he said was, let's see, what did he say it was? I've forgotten right now, but over the next 30 years, $140 trillion will be added to the world's gross domestic product. And the question is where will those $140 billion be generated from? Who will have those jobs? And what he suggests is that this is the time for the United States to begin to look at creating the environment that's going to have the highest probability of creating jobs for Americans. So what I thought would be interesting to do would be to interview some of the people, not who are creating the jobs right now, but the people who are creating the infrastructure for those jobs. And we have some very interesting folks today that we're going to interview, because these are the people who are supporting the creators of jobs. These are the people who are creating the infrastructure, the coaching, the mentoring. We're going to be interviewing Vak Sambath, who's one of the guru mentors here at Fast Start Studio here in Irvine, right off the 405. So, Vak, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Will. Appreciate it. Hello, everyone.
So, tell us a little bit back about how you got here. What does this mean to you?
Well, how I got to Fast Start Studio was through a series of other networking events. And I happened to attend a meetup, through another friend who was looking to create this community of technology, where other startup, entrepreneurs, visionaries, trendsetters, etc., would come together to share ideas. And it just happened that one of the gentlemen that I met was Michael Sowitz, and he had said this one simple statement that caught my attention. He wanted to create an incubator where he doesn't take any equity. Coming from a person in the tech world, and we're talking specifically in LA, is a typical incubator or accelerator. When you join the program, they're going to give you money, but they're going to take some equity. So instead, what Michael decided to do was he said, "Hey, I'm going to give you space. I'm going to give you all the resources that you need, and I'm not going to take any equity. I'm going to help you." Because his end goal was, I wanted to create jobs out of this.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday. It's something that I've been looking at and talking about over the past 6 months is the big difference between a venture capitalist, somebody who is investing, and somebody who is there to support job growth. Typically, the way that an investor finds success or defines success, the measurement of success is maybe they invest multiple millions of dollars in a variety of companies, expecting that what they're going to do is hit on a couple of those, and that the ones they hit on will help cover the losses on the other ones. But they take equity in all the companies and begin to do certain things because they have such an equity stake in it. On the other hand, what I've been looking for, and that was just amazed and very gratified when I heard Michael saying exactly the same thing, that what we want to do is we want to measure the success of our program by counting the number of jobs created. Mm-hmm. And that is what helps create well-being in the country.
Agreed.
So tell us a little bit about what you have been doing to help create that environment or help create jobs here at Fast Start Studio.
So one of my biggest responsibilities here is to try to create community, right? And what is that community? And first of all, I want to start off by saying, what are some of the challenges first? Because how can you create something if you don't know what you're working with? So the biggest thing is, we're in Orange County. Orange County compared to, say, L.A. Has a completely different culture, right? L.A. Is probably the next closest thing to, say, the Bay Area. You've got more talent, there's more VCs, et cetera, et cetera. But, so when you look at Orange County, what's the first thing that you think of? Med tech, biopharmas, semiconductors, et cetera. But where's this thriving community for, say entrepreneurs? If I were to ask you the same question, where can I find a bunch of entrepreneurs that are going to build stuff, that are building stuff? First thing you might think of is maybe Tech Coast Angels, Octane, etc. But there wasn't any community. That being said, that was my primary goal. Was to start bringing in maybe some community-focused minded people from LA because they have the experience over here. So a few things that I did was, I needed some tools to help facilitate that, which is someone who can write about it, that can kind of share some things that happens here into LA. So that way there's a conduit, number one. Number two is to focus on talent. I need to go out there to find some talent out in the area. But it wasn't the talent where people are just going from networking event to try to, say, hop onto something. I was looking for people who had the right chemistry, people that can deliver, people that are committed. That's what I was looking for. So it's not something that you can just put together a meetup event and then hopefully you throw so many events together and something will stick. So the approach that I did was I would take in maybe a few individuals, talk to them, and kind of guide them along the way. And then, having them end up being, say, my extension of our vision here. So that being said, then they will, say, through their network, tell people about Fast Start. So that was in May when Michael did the launch party. Fast forward to, say, I'd say less than 3 months, maybe 2.5 months later, Michael now has about a full house of startup companies. You've got people doing things, say, products for individuals with crutches, a company called Animal Legs. You've got this, a mother that has a homeopathic remedy. You've got folks that are doing gaming, which is online competitive wagering. The list goes on and on, you know. But this all started with the fact that Michael wanted to do something different, and he led the way, and I just wanted to be there to kind of like help him.
Good. Well, now we've been interviewing people around from the Digital Media Lab up in Santa Ana, part of Santa Ana College. We've talked to people from K5 Launch. We've also talked to people who from LA in Firas Bushnek's incubator. And what makes this incubator different from others?
I think other than the fact that we don't take equity, and then I could the other I'd say challenge, you know, whether it be a pro or con, is like we aren't funding companies, right? You know, we're helping grow companies. That's a differentiator, but some similarities. We have the talent here. You know, we have like mentors that have worked with Disney, mentors with Cheesecake Factory experience, you know, folks like Michael Sowitz, someone else like myself, you know, who started TechZulu, whose own social networking sites. The list goes on and on, you know, so each and every incubator or accelerator are going to have their own sets of characteristics, and those characteristics are defined by the advisors and the mentors, you know, that are behind these programs, right? So the difference is the money or the fund, you know, at the same time, the program. So in this program is Michael is looking to curate and massage the individual versus doing a shotgun approach and, hey, let's go, you know, quarter one, quarter two, in 3 months, you know, we're going to bang you out, you know, and hopefully you have a product. If you don't have a product, we're going to kick you out, so to speak. Not everyone's like that, you know, but it's a numbers game. So the other differentiator that Michael's got is that this isn't a three-month program. It's a year-long program. Mm-hmm. So that being said, it's, you know, these entrepreneurs sometimes need time, right? Another differentiator is that a lot of these accelerators up north are probably looking for the next Dropbox, the next Evernote, the next billion-dollar idea. But if you look at those types of companies versus, say, the companies that are making jobs, not all of them are, you know, are the $100 million or, say, billion-dollar ideas. They could be $20 million. They could be $10 million. Most SMBs are probably doing somewhere around that level. They're probably doing pretty good if you're doing $25 million a year.
Well, now, when we think about creating jobs, one of the things that came up in big time in Clifton's book is that there are only 1,000 companies that have more than 10,000 people that they employ in the United States. The 99% of all the companies in the United States have less than 100 employees.
Correct.
Well, it seemed to me that that's pretty true, that the job growth is going to come from the small to medium-sized companies.
Correct. So that's where Michael's strengths are, because his background, he started AIM Mail Center. You know, so his expertise is in the less than 100, you know, just, typical franchisees and stuff that he's got are, you know, about maybe 10 employees. So that's his expertise. And that's what he brings to the table with the Fast Start Studio Incubator.
And so really focusing on what it will take for small companies to hire new people. I mean, if in fact we have 13,000 companies in Orange County, all right, now, if each of those companies added one more person
Correct.
To the role,
Absolutely.
That would be a significant change in the joblessness.
Absolutely. And that's where Michael's approach is, right? You know, which is, it's not like going with that one-hit wonder. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for some sort of sustainability. You know, he's looking for those that can grow this on a smaller scale, but have the potential of growing their companies to say, 15 employees, 20 employees. The probability of that happening versus the probability of some company growing it to maybe 100 plus employees, it's a numbers game too, in this sense.
Right. Well, now, would you agree with what Jim Clifton says in his book that innovation is not the problem?
Correct.
Entrepreneurship, follow through, is the problem.
Right. And I'd like to add to that, what is that follow through? It's another translation for execution, right? A lot of entrepreneurs, there's a reason why 90% of the entrepreneurs, fail. There's a reason why there are a lot of wantrepreneurs, which is another trending word that's been being tossed around for the past 18 months or 24 months.
Wantrepreneurs.
Yeah, huh? Wantrepreneurs. Right. What that means is that they've been caught up by the next Mark Zuckerberg, the next Dropbox, the next billion-dollar company, the next Airbnb. They're saying, I've got an idea too. I'm going to go out and do it. Well, there are a few caveats to that, right? A, is there a passion involved? B, is there commitment? C, are there any skills? Some people don't have any skills. So what they do is, I've got an idea. I'm going to go find somebody and help me build so-and-so. Or some people that I've even bumped into and say, I've got an idea. Can you just take it? Just give me some equity. Build something for me. That's a wantrepreneur.
Uh-huh.
A true entrepreneur says, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to find someone to roll up their sleeves with me. And if that doesn't happen, I'll do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's an entrepreneur. And they'll risk, money. Sometimes their family is not around. The list goes on and on.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the role of passion, desire, commitment. Okay. And those are two of the top four things that we test for when we look for good salespeople.
Correct.
And so passion, desire, commitment. Then also we look for what we call responsibility, which means not making excuses.
Uh-huh.
Now, I would be willing to bet. Is that something that gets in the way of execution, is excuse making?
Oh, God. Excuse making, it's like a bad habit, because it's so easy to give excuses and then take responsibility or ownership, So it boils down to the character of the individual. So not everyone can become an entrepreneur. That's why even through Fast Start, Michael goes through this interviewing process. You can give, an awesome 40-page or 2-page executive summary, but he has to meet them in person to see, how come they're late, how come they're not late, et cetera, it's personal. It's the person behind this. And you can actually, for me, if I were to sit down with an entrepreneur, I can probably tell if they've got what it takes probably the first 5 minutes.
Mm.
So it's easy to mess up and to actually stay focused. And everyone's got that problem.
Mm. So how does the community here help people who, apparently, people come here, they'll have passion,
uh-huh.
they'll have commitment. How do people here how does the community help folks execute?
Well, first of all, there's a 50-50 thing, right? So it's kind of says, push and pull. So we can push them, right? But they have to, right? Where they'll push back. So A, we're always here. B, they can always reach us. To get them to be responsible, we give them a set of milestones, where, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that, right? But we also want to find those that are hungry. And I try to define that, based on off what Steve Jobs did, right? Stay hungry, stay foolish.
Stay hungry and stay foolish.
Correct.
Huh. Okay.
So how hungry are you? I'll give you a case in point, and those guys might even kill me for saying this, right? So Mike and I have our own golden Rolodex. We can pick up the phone and refer these companies to, say, someone that we know, and we can help establish a relationship there. But that's the easy way of doing things, right? Because, if I want someone to do something, right, it's really hard because they don't know me. Same thing with these entrepreneurs. So they had asked me, if I can introduce them so-and-so, maybe deep into my golden Rolodex, whatever it is, right? Can you do an intro? Because they've noticed that 99.9% of the time, right, if no one knows them, right, they'll never get a call back. So what I suggested are two things. I could easily do that for you,
mm-hmm.
but I won't. Because if I did that, you won't know the value of what it takes to be hungry. So I said, you know what? Figure out a way. And what was happening was, you know, they went through LinkedIn. You know, one advice, go LinkedIn. If you're first degree of connection, ask someone else. Then they got the number. They called in. They got the secretary. Secretary said, you know what? I'll get back to you. And they did it again over and over. And they said, you know, we give up back. Can you just connect us with this person? And the thing is, it's like being a dad, right? Say, no, I won't. Because I want you to earn it, son, or whatever, right? So I said, nope, I'm not going to do it. And I go, there's a whole 2 weeks. And, you know, in the start where 2 weeks is an eternity. I said, I'm not going to give you that connection, right? So I said, you know what? Call. Stop by the office. Pound on the doors. Keep on emailing them, right? Attack whichever way. 2 weeks later, they're getting calls now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you know, says I was just busy, et cetera, et cetera. They just didn't know what was happening on the other side of the coin. But now they're getting meetings set up. But the thing was, I wanted to see their follow through. That's the hungry part.
Mm-hmm.
What do they need to do to understand what is being hungry and what's staying foolish? Is it being humble? Is, you know, the fact that, you know what? I don't have time for you. Scram, kid. Who are you? Right? Can you look like a donkey, like a jackass, and be okay with it? You know what? I'm doing this because I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I do that.
Yeah. I once thought that the best thing my dad did for me, he owned an auto parts store in South Texas. And I once thought the best thing he did for me was to give me a job when I was 8-10 years old, right? Come down Saturday, work for 25 cents an hour, and get to know the business. Well, I realize now that what was disappointing when I was 15 was he fired me. And he said, go find a job on your own.
Right.
He said, I could let you stay here and work, but you would not have the experience of working in the world. You'd be working for your family, for your dad.
Exactly.
And while I felt like that was a little scary and that was disappointing and frustrating,
It
was the best thing in the world.
Exactly. So there's, you know, that old saying, tough love, right? I mean, that goes a long way. What is tough love? It's so easy to give someone $5 or to give someone money to go build something. But that's part of the reason why if you take money out of the equation, which is what Michael's doing, take money out of the equation, how hard will these guys work to earn their money?
Yeah.
And that's what I like about Michael's program.
Yeah. Well, now, have you done anything with crowdfunding? I mean, are people around here beginning to think about crowdfunding opportunities?
I think crowdfunding, it's still relatively in its infancy stage. A lot of the mainstream folks are using this, you know, particularly like with Kickstarter. But in my opinion, typically Orange County is really like at least 5 years behind what LA is doing.
Really?
And LA is 5 years behind like what the Bay Area is doing.
Really?
It's a typical metric, you know?
Well, what do you think is causing that kind of... I don't care what causes it. What do you think we need to do to bring Orange County to the front of the line instead of two or three levels back?
Infrastructure, which leads to support. Name it. What kind of infrastructure you think Orange County has? Compare that to say, just do like so, like a numbers metrics, right? Most VCs are in LA. You have Clearstone Ventures, you have Rustic Canyon, you have GRP. The list goes on and on. There's just more infrastructure. It's laid out a lot more. But now, if I were to ask you, who's out here in Orange County? You have InVentures. But those guys are probably into med tech, biopharma. But who's actually putting their money where the mouth is? Everyone says, you know, we're going to give so many people so much dollars, blah, blah, you know, but I don't see any funding to these entrepreneurs. So there's no thought for that. I might be able to name one. But other than that, I'd say TCA. But TCA, again, you look at the infrastructure. You know, are these, you know, have these guys been the next ones to have funded Price Grabber, to have funded, say, the Rubicon Project, you know, from Frank and Dante? So the other thing is support. The support structure means that there's community-driven, right? So that community is, okay, well, you look at Octane. Who are they supporting? I mean, you know, a lot of their events are like in a couple hundred dollars or whatever, right? If you're a startup, can you afford to go to any of these events on a recurring basis?
No.
If you look at the metrics, you have more events in LA that are mostly free to $10 range. Look at the events here. To be in these network events, say Octane, you know, Orange County Venture Network, BNI, more business related. But to be in them, it's just they're a couple hundred dollars a year on top of like your like the drinks and all the other things like that you need to be involved in. Startup companies don't have that. Someone coming out of UCI or Cal State Fullerton, they don't have that kind of money.
Well, let's take a break here and come back and talk a little bit more about how we would go about what kinds of things we can begin doing.
Absolutely.
To build that community.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's take a break now and hear from sponsors. We'll be right back.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted, I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions. Because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions, don't take the first thing they give you, dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
Well, welcome back to Pilgrim Talks, where we have been speaking with Vax Sambath from Fast Start Studio, and in wandered in Richard Perez, another one of the gurus here at Fast Start Studio. We're going to talk a little bit more about what it means or what we can do in Orange County to create the infrastructure, create the environment that's going to have the highest probability of creating jobs, supporting entrepreneurs, and creating those jobs here that will lead to well-being for the United States over the next 30 to 60 years. So welcome, Richard.
Thank you.
So back to where we were, what sort of things do you see that we need to be doing here to create this environment? Should we go up to Silicon Valley and wander around and find out what they're doing, or do we know already?
I think we know already. I feel that we already have the talent. I think it just needs to have some leadership, right? By that, I mean, you know what? Instead of going out there and I could try to just pick apart what they're doing right or wrong, right? Just do it. Entrepreneurs do that. They just look at a problem and they say, you know what? I need to do it, right? So folks like Michael is just doing it. And what we need to do in order to facilitate, you know, the job growth and, you know, things that we need to build this infrastructure, right, is focus on what's more important, right? It's the individual, right? Bring in all the individuals that want to work with you. That not only includes just entrepreneurs, but it also includes other people that need help, right? I mean, everyone else, in my opinion, and like if I may, is, you know, they're in it for themselves. They're in it to win it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it is what your end goal is, right? Is your end goal to create community? Is your end goal to create jobs? Is it to make money in Orange County, in my opinion, right? Because since we're so business-oriented, our end goal is to make money. I'll tell you, see, like, one difference, like if there's time for this, right, you know, which is whenever I go to a networking event in L.A., people are offering, hey, let's work together. My talent's this, my talent's that, et cetera, et cetera. Very seldom will I hear people say, let's work together, but it'll cost you.
Mm.
When I'm in Orange County, let's work together. Before you know it, it's like a bait and switch. Oh, here's a proposal. Here's how much it's going to cost.
Hmm.
And that's what I see, right? Other things. I, in my 2 years or 2.5 years in, like, you know, working to build this community in Orange County, most people, like, I run to our realtors, multi-level marketing folks, you know, some sort of SEO, some sort of, like, marketing company. It's all marketing. So that being said, is like, you know, these guys are trying to build a consulting company. So I find more of that. So the folks here, what we need to do is to find more people that take that mentality out of the equation. Okay, so how about jump to the people that have money? There are a ton of people that have money here, just like there are people that's got money in LA. But what are they doing with their money? In my opinion, they're probably investing in commercial real estate, you know, things that are more brick and mortar. We need to find people who's got money who are open to entrepreneurs here, like at a Fast Start, you know, like at, say, at a K5, at a Win Opportunity or something like that, right? People that are willing to open up, you know, I'll do 25K, I'll do 50K, but this is my commitment to the community.
Yeah, that's right? A big difference, isn't it? Rather than investing in the person, I'm investing in the community, because it's not just a way of making money, although that will happen for successful
right.
investors.
Right.
It's also a way of building jobs for the community, which
right.
is going to come back in terms of a stronger network, a stronger fabric, social fabric, better schools, better fire department, all of those things that come from having a robust job market. Now, Richard, I saw you nodding your head there. Tell us a little bit about what you see in Orange County.
Well, it's a different territory. We got a different presence. We have a huge corporate presence here that focuses on some very niche markets. And by the way, those particular niche markets are high in demand globally, not just here in Orange County, but across the globe. But what I don't see are those organizations reaching out to the local communities to create that fostering within the community. So there are a number of different corporations here that have a global presence, but you don't see them too involved within the community,
absolutely,
the startup community. Yet you have these universities here with the talent, and versus fostering a more of a startup community, they're more focused on recruitment, where you see a number of different organizations, corporations in other parts of the country, where they're investing into the community to create startups.
Well, how do you see the difference between, say, let's get very personal, UCI and Stanford? I mean, what is the difference between? I mean, Stanford seems to be a real hotbed of entrepreneurship.
Well, go ahead. I can answer that. Leadership. Let's do the numbers, right? The number of entrepreneurial leaders in Stanford versus those in UCI. It's a numbers game, right? How many of those people, you know, are voicing out, you know, let's build this, let's build that? Number one. Number two, that's just a voice. That's just talking. That's all chatter. how many of those have actually built something? The number of people that have built companies through the startup environment in Stanford will outweigh the numbers in UCI, in my opinion, of course.
Well, now, is it possible, I mean, I'm getting into my world now, but is it possible to use the leadership around Stanford to help jumpstart the environment here in Orange County?
Well, because the thing is that it goes back to infrastructure. Everything's possible. Nothing's impossible, right? You know, but there are also this thing called red tape, right? You know, well, we need a fund for this. Well, like, we need to create this, like a space for this. Well, built this. It's always, we need to do this versus say, let's just do it. And that's what fast start is, right? You know, let's just do it. Fast start.
So could we interview people, bring people down from Stanford, from Silicon Valley, and bring them down? Would that be helpful?
To me, I don't see any reason why not, number one. But it goes back to, hey, you know, can one of us pick up the phone and say, hey, you know, can you come down here? You know, again, I mean, their time is precious, so is our time is precious. You know, so they'll say, well, if I come down here, right, or whatnot, how can I impact the community?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Right. I've interviewed over 300 people, right?
It is possible.
85% of the people I pick up and call on the phone say, yes, let's talk.
All right.
And out of that, some significant projects have come from talking. All right. But now my question is, can we see, or do we believe that there will be an impact if we have people come in?
Yes and no, and I still think that like it really depends on having that community, bringing those people out. Like I'll have like a case in point. Recently, I just got an email. You know, it was like one of those like newsletter emails from Brian Elliott, who runs Linked OC.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent out something that says, you know what, he's going to quit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he says he's been paying money out of his own pocket. Remember, going back to the money thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
To put on these events. He says a lot of times like these events, you know, come out of his pockets because there's not enough people coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the events like that he put together is Seth Godin, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Everybody knows him, so they come to those events, you know. But yet, like, you know, he wants to bring other events, such as an author of social media, right? But people think that, well, there's so many social media people here and there or whatever. Well, the thing is that, like, if he's being proactive and he's trying to lead the way,
mm-hmm.
but for someone to come out and say, you know what, I'm through because it costs too much.
Right.
That means there isn't the support, there isn't an infrastructure for him. Like, for example, he said that when he booked the performing arts center, like a theater at Circus Storm, it cost him 80 grand, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the Milken Institute, when I believe Jason Nazar like has his events there and stuff, right? Startup Uncensored.
This is up in Santa Monica.
It's donated.
Mm-hmm.
You have someone that donates that, but someone here is charging 80 grand.
Hmm.
No support.
There's no infrastructure. There's no sense of community involvement. We understand that these businesses are here for profit, but in an economy that we're in, we need all the support that we can. Those businesses, can they afford periodically donating those spaces,
right?
Providing some sponsorship to bring in some talent to guide, lead,
mm-hmm.
teach,
yeah.
mentor.
So
that's what's needed.
So I feel just like what Richard said, Robert, we need the mentorship, but we need the leadership, but we need commitment from people. But sometimes commitment gets lost because the leadership isn't there. You have, you know, someone like a Brian Elliott. You have someone just like a Ray Chan. You have someone just, like Michael Sowers, right? But to me, they're all kind of sort of almost like silos.
Mm.
They all do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What Michael and I are trying to do, we're trying to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's still in its early 80s and stuff, right? People are just trying to test each other out. Well, can this person follow through? Can this person deliver this or that? And that's why I say it's still about at least 5 years behind.
So what do you think? Is there a way to shorten this 5-year period?
I think it gets into the various dynamics within the local community, reaching out not only to the private sector, these incubators that are out there, but also the political arena as well. How it's We arranged a meeting with Sowitz and Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez recently, and it turns out that Loretta Sanchez is spearheading another silo to sponsor some community environment.
A technology board.
Yeah.
Her office is doing this, right? But yet maybe they might not know about us. You know, there isn't someone that has some sort of say, master calendar or master program. We don't have that. Again, going back to leadership, someone needs to be able to pick up the phone and say, you know, or maybe go through their golden Rolodex. Well, what are you doing? The radio guy, right? You know, or the radio team. Okay, Michael, you're doing this. You're the incubator. Who's the accelerator? Map them all out, right? And make sure everyone exchanges contact or information, right? And pick the leaders from there. Hey, Loretta Sanchez, we know that you're supporting this. What can we do to help? Who's the leadership there that makes sure that they follow through? Everyone has a responsibility to take, which is a commitment, follow through, and investment, and not only just time but money too. Because I'll tell you this: what Michael, he's invested, you know, 3 years to hopefully have this thing go off the ground. But that's money that's involved, but that's his commitment, and that's his leadership for that.
So getting leadership from people, getting them to talk to each other is important and significant. And then having some follow-through, execution.
Creating noise.
Huh?
Yes. We OC Register, OC Metro, yourself. We have those media presence within the community. We need to be promoting.
So we need to get Steve Churm. We need to get Steve Churm from OC Metro.
Correct.
All right, and then we've got new people at the OC Register because it was recently purchased.
Correct.
So we need them on board because they want to rebrand the OC Register.
So you want to get from the Register stand, how do you get more people to get into that community? How do they get them to get more subscribers? Right? Talk about relevancy, you know, jobs, creating a strong economical presence. We're in Orange County. We're not in an area that lacks funding or resources. What we lack is a centralized focus, a common front to grow and nurture.
Now, part of the thing is Scott Trotter and I talked about. Scott Trotter is the executive director of the Orange County Child Abuse Center, Child Abuse Prevention Center. And what he and I talked about on the show was very similar in that what he said, that it's certainly possible to see a world 30 years from now where there is no child abuse at all. And so I challenged him, and we've met 4, 5, 6 times. And what we decided was that in the same way, we need to have an infrastructure. If we're going to make changes in how people are treating children, we have to be talking to clergy, we have to be talking to educators, talk to doctors, we have to talk to people who have money, we have to talk to social workers. There's a whole community there, and he was saying the same thing. It's not well organized.
Right, and that's part of the challenge, and that's what we were referring to by infrastructure, right? So in order for for all the domino pieces to fall in place, they all need to be lined up, right? Each domino needs to be in the right place at the right time. So when they do fall, they fall in sync.
Yes. It's creating that infrastructure that'll support the startup community. It's identifying those roles and responsibilities and the commitments. Each one can provide value in their own special way. Media, political, corporations, these incubators, some of the local community leaders, the ones that are in this little part of the woods that have a certain level of influence,
linked,
for example, he's taken that leadership role, but yet
he's isolated. He's all out there, all alone.
He's reaching out, he's begging for help.
Yeah,
right. And instead of letting them sink, why not create that community front and how can we help? He's already laid it out.
Well, I think of Sven Johnson as well. Sven was the one that went to LinkedIn and said, we have to have a LinkedIn OC name down here because we're not just LA. And he's got a big following too. So, I mean, I think that, you know, there are people who have done some things like that. Tech Biz does some of that by getting entrepreneurs together on a regular basis. But I think they're a little bit further along than what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Well, and you bring up a good point. They're further along. Why recreate the wheel?
Right? Mm-hmm.
Let's piggyback on the successes, the wins they've already experienced. Yeah. Let's bring them, let's join mm-hmm. the party and figure out how we can keep this momentum going that they've started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us taking the leadership role, moving in a different direction, it's another silo. Let's not do that.
Yeah.
And can I add to that and stuff,
sure.
right? Is, you know, for me, like, I'm the guy that I like to focus on action, plan of action,
mm-hmm.
what to do next. So that being said, I'd like to reach out to your listeners and say, hey, you know what? We're Fast Start Studio. We're here off of, off the 5, off of Big Parkway. We'd like to work together with you guys. Whomever it is that's out there, contact us at Fast Start Studio, michael@faststartstudio.com, and say, you know what? I'd like to participate. How can I help? Just let us know those sorts of things and what have you, right? You know, there are places that we can say, okay, well, tell us what you're doing right now and start laying out the foundation. I would rather be the person to say, you know what? Let's make it happen. Let's plan out and do it. Rather than saying, you know, here's a problem, you know, let's do this, let's do that. But no one is reaching out to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So with your listeners, I'd like to say, hey, you know what? I don't have your contact information, but you can have my contact information. I'm reaching out to you guys. So reach out to me to vak@pivothq.com. Reach out to me or reach out to Will. If you don't have that information, you know who to contact.
Sure.
So we'd like to build this community in OC. And you know what? It's not even just OC. If we can connect to, say, LA and San Diego, we'd love to help.
The Inland Empire, too, as well.
Inland Empire is a big one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, we're Southern California. You know, we've been speaking about Orange County, and obviously we need to focus in on the smaller piece
mm-hmm.
to get that going, gain that momentum,
right.
and create that community infrastructure so we can start out to our neighbors.
Right.
You know, we do. We're in the LA area quite often. Why? Because there is that collaboration.
Right.
There is that nurturing environment. So, you know, the probability of success is
right.
there.
Right.
So, right. Versus in Orange County, it just doesn't exist yet.
And I want to add to that too. And I love to add stuff. Right. Is that like when we do work together? Right. Come with an open mind. Right? Do not be judgmental and say, you know, well, who are you? What have you done? Et cetera, right? Because at the end of the day, right, it's how we work together and how we follow through and execute because we're all entrepreneurs at heart. That's why we're doing this. So come in with an open mind.
Yeah, it seems to me that at least in my 12 year of experience in Orange County, I guess I've been here 20 years. My goodness. All right. So my 20 years of experience in Orange County, it seems to me that there's a lot of networking that is really a social event.
Mm-hmm.
While there might be referrals on the horizon, it might be let's talk about this, let's talk about an opportunity. I have not been in many places where there's very clear next steps on making projects happen. Have you?
Not around here, but when it comes to my experience in LA, you know what? LA's not perfect, right? You know, it had the same exact issues back in 2007, which is about 5 years ago. And that's why I say that because, since, you know, for me, like my experience, like I was part of the Lunch 2.0s. I was with, you know, Nicole Jordan and Andrew Warner's of the world. So, like I was around like when Digital LA only had 100 people, 50 people. Mindshare only had 30 people. The Startup Institute only had 30 people. But it took them about, say, 5 years later to nowadays. Digital LA has, on average, 500 people. Mindshare has 500 people. You know, Uncensored has, you know, 500. But it took a while. It took each and every one of those guys to be consistent at what they're doing. Like, for example, Digital LA, they held the events every 2 weeks consistently. Mindshare did it every month consistently for the past 5 years. And their perseverance leads them to what they have today.
All right, super.
You know, we went to an event in Santa Monica last week, Uncensored, where we got to listen to the founders of Eventbrite. In that meeting, they mentioned two startup companies that came from Orange County originally that moved up to Northern California.
Really?
Yeah. And it just caught me by surprise, you know. Well, not so much surprise, but it's just proving the point, making a point here. You got two good popular companies, Lookout and Yammer, that moved out of the Orange
Yammer County. Came yeah. from Orange County?
Yes.
I thought Yammer was like a European company.
No. Why did they go?
Why?
Did they go up there?
Why did they go?
Infrastructure. Investment. Support.
Then let's interview the Yammer founders and let's let them tell the story about why they moved.
Yes. And we often hear this. We yeah. have another startup company that we're good friends with is considering moving up to the Valley.
Who is that?
YearRegard.
All right.
They're a young startup company. Great experience. Great leadership.
Let's interview them.
Yes.
Okay. All right, now you know you can take this interview when we post it, then you can take it and put it on, you can spread it all around.
Absolutely.
Put it on the site, put it on Fast Studios, Fast Start Studio, and put it on your email. You know, put a link to it on your email.
Absolutely.
Because I think this is an important thing to do.
Exactly. And the goal is that we share the message to throughout the community, mm-hmm. even if they're not listening today, tomorrow, next month. But we want those people to come reach out to us so that we can get this ball rolling.
Because we don't know everybody, but we like to.
Excellent. Well, listen, it's really fun interviewing you. I think people out there should call up Fast Studio, FastStartStudio.com, talk to Michael.
Yep.
Talk to Richard, talk to Back, and come on by. What's the address here?
15550-D. Rockfield Avenue, Irvine, California.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, wonderful. So glad that you guys have been here today. We'll be looking forward to talking with you again.
Thank you so much for your time, Will.
Excellent.
And thank you, everybody, for listening in. I appreciate you guys' time. And remember, don't forget to reach out to us, Michael at Fast Start Studio or Vac at PivotHQ.com or Richard at PivotHQ.com. Thanks again, guys.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. Another group of entrepreneurs that are sitting around taking a look at what we can do to help sponsor, support, and encourage entrepreneurs in Orange County. Looks like we need some infrastructure and some coordination with various entrepreneurial centers to help support folks and lift up Orange County, pull in Inland Empire, come around with LA, and coordinate with San Diego. So it looks like it's going to be a fun year. Take care. This is the Pilgrim on the 405. Wishing you a great day and look forward to talking with you again next week.
You've been listening to the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405.